Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. This is God's word. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked, or to deprive the innocent of justice. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, the first verse says that if you're unfriendly, that's not a good thing. So we ought to be friendly. Can everybody work on that? An unfriendly man is selfish. He's pursuing his own ends. He's doing his own thing. The reason he's not friendly is because he really doesn't care about you. But don't take it personally. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. The unfriendly person not only is selfishly pursuing his own ends, but the next phrase says he defies all sound judgment. In other words, that is a foolish way to behave. So if you are unfriendly, don't think you're being smart. It is a foolish way to live. Got it? I mean, that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, all there in one verse. Learn from it.
I'm just not a very friendly person. I'm kind of shy.
Actually, believe it or not, I am too.
No, I don't believe that. You've never been shy in your life.
I've actually always been shy. I have, as you gather, work to overcome that so that now I'm not as much that way as I once was. But by nature, I'm somebody who'd rather just watch what's happening than get involved. Way too passive. And so God has repeatedly put me in positions of leadership from the time I was a kid. But I want you to understand something. If you think your disposition, your personality, your inclinations are an excuse for you not to do what needs to be done, you're wrong. Okay? Not everybody has the same role. Not everybody has to go into sales for a living. But you better learn how to care about other people enough to be nice to them. That's what being friendly is about. Doesn't mean you're best friends with everybody. It means you behave in a friendly manner. You think about other people and how things impact them, and you're not just focused on your own ends. Okay? That's verse 1. Verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. In other words, to a fool, it doesn't even matter if he's right. He just wants to tell you what he thinks. If somebody tries to give him the facts, it's like, I'm not interested. That's what it's saying. And believe me, I hope you're not going to be that way, but I guarantee you will run into lots of people who are like that. They are not the least bit interested in the facts. They don't get excited about finding out the truth and what's really going on. They just want to tell you what they think. And some of the things you'll hear people say are just astounding. We live in a culture where increasingly people believe that whatever they want to believe is truth for them. Saw an interview just yesterday with an individual who was saying, well, you know, this is my truth. My truth? The facts are facts. You may have some of the facts, you may not have all the facts, but I guarantee you whatever the facts are the facts, whether or not you believe them. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. No pleasure in understanding. That's not what they're about. They're not wanting to know the truth. They're not wanting to learn more. They just want to tell everybody what they think. Verse 3. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. If you were to say, well, what is the main theme that runs through more of these proverbs than any other in this chapter, I would tell you, be careful what you say, because the fool, in verse 2, is airing his own opinion. In verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Real contrast in what comes out. Verse 6, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Verse 20, from the fruit of a man's mouth, the man's stomach is filled, and with the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you kind of get a theme here? In other words, what we say has enormous impact. Be careful with your words. Now, that's not the only theme in this chapter, but that is certainly one of the main ones that all of us need to take to heart. I want to ask you very quickly, those of you especially who've been here a while, which book of the Bible has a lot to say about our words and our tongue? The New Testament epistle of James, thank you. James, some of you remember when we studied James, and James talks about how this little tiny part of our body can alter the course of everything. We need to be careful what we say. Our words have consequences. And Jesus says we're going to give an account for every idle word. Things we just said flippantly, things we just said in passing. What we say does make a difference. Be careful what you say. Always tell the truth. I was probably 4 years old. It was Christmas morning, and I was playing with the toys I'd just gotten. And my father was seated on the little sofa there in the living room, reading his Bible. And all of a sudden, he looked up, and he said, "Jimmy." I said, "Yes, sir." I always said, "Yes, sir." "Yes, sir." And he said, "Do not lie. Do not ever lie. If you ever do realize that you have lied, come back and tell me the truth. Do you understand?" I said, "Yes, sir." I remember that to today. Because all my dad had to say was, "Don't do this. Don't ever do this." And that stuck with me. You know why? Well, for one thing, my dad never lied. If my dad said something, it meant something. When I was a little kid, my older siblings would try and get me to promise things. "Will you?" "Yeah." "Promise?" "Yeah." "Cross your heart and hope to die?" "Okay." You know what my dad said when he overheard some of that nonsense? "Don't promise. You don't need to promise. If you always tell the truth, you'll not need to promise. If sometimes you have to promise, that means the rest of the time you may not be telling the truth. Just say yes or no." That's what Jesus says. That is what Jesus said. He said, don't make vows. Anything beyond yes and no is of the enemy. You don't make vows. You don't need to. You don't need to promise if you always tell the truth. When I get married, can I say, I promise to love and cherish? And yeah. The idea is you live a life where people know that if it comes out of your mouth, you mean it and it's true.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Verse 9, I love verse 9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. What does that mean? It means if you don't do a good job, you're a lot like somebody who just tears stuff up. A friend of mine, bunch of kids, drives a van, goes to have the oil changed. They failed to put the plug in the bottom. They put the oil in, sent him on his way. The oil all drained out. The engine burned up. He and his family are stranded with an engine that has to be replaced in the middle of their trip. Vehicle's towed. They put it up on the rack. There's no plug in the bottom. Now, maybe they put it in part way, just not all the way, and so it vibrated out. But the thing is, they just had the oil changed because they were going on a trip and wanted to be sure that the engine would perform properly. Instead, they're stranded with a van full of kids and a need to replace the engine. Why did that happen? Because somebody who thought he deserved $15 an hour was slack in his work. Careless. How'd you like to have the person who changes your tires not do a good job putting the nuts back on there to hold the wheel in place? If you're slack in your work, you can cause great harm. You didn't go in there and say, I'm going to destroy this engine. You just weren't careful when you put the plug back in or you put the oil filter in. We had with one of our vehicles. Thank God it didn't burn up, but we noticed there was a leak. And so instead of driving it to have it repaired, I had it towed, and they got it there, and the Honda place said, well, the problem is whoever changed your oil last didn't put the filter on tight. And so the filter is vibrating with engine vibrations, and it's vibrating itself loose, getting looser and looser, and more oil's coming out. Easy to fix. We're going to do an oil change on the car, and you're good to go. I was afraid it was some gasket or something. Nope. Just somebody who was slack in their work. And if we hadn't paid attention and gotten it taken care of, would have lost that engine. Now, did the guy who put that oil filter in have something more important to think about at the moment that he was putting in the oil filter than our car? No. That's his job. When you're doing a job, give it your attention, work hard, do it well, or you are akin to someone who just out and out destroys stuff. Does it matter whether you use salt or sugar in the recipe? Yes. Does it matter whether it's baking powder or baking soda? Yes. Does it matter whether it is milk or bleach? Yes. Pay attention to what you're doing. Diligence is hard work with an attention to detail. Thank you. So, the one who's slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. But look at verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. What does that mean? When it talks about the name of the Lord, it means God's revelation of himself. It is his identity, and it is the fact that we can know him. And so if you run to the Lord, if you put your trust in him, you are safe. The very next verse talks about people who think that they will have safety in their wealth. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. What does that tell you? Is it really an unscalable wall? No. I don't care how much money you've got. Someday you're going to have a problem that money won't be able to fix. It may happen late in life or it may happen early in life. If you're really blessed, it'll happen early in life. And you'll discover, okay, I was putting my security in the wrong thing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. And they imagine it an unscalable wall. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. My wife and I often remind each other of an old preacher who said, when I was young, I was very concerned about what people thought of me. And I made my decisions and lived my life very concerned about what people thought of me. But then I came to the point in my life when I decided, I don't care what people think of me. I'm going to do what I believe I ought to do. And I began living in such a way that I didn't care what people thought of me. Took me a number of years, but eventually I realized people weren't thinking of me. You get it? They're not. Most people are not engrossed in you. They're not fascinated with, what's she wearing today? How did he do that? What's he going to do next? What do you suppose she'll say? What do you think she's thinking? It's just really not on most people's mind. In fact, a whole lot of people are like verse 1. Unfriendly and pursuing selfish ends. But guess what? Pride definitely goes before a fall. And verse 12 says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Before you will be honored, you're going to have to humble yourself. Verse 13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Look at verse 15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. The idea is, if you are wise, you're going to be pursuing truth. You're going to want to learn more. You're not going to say, yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I know it. You're going to want to know more. What else? You're going to want to read. You're going to want to listen. You're going to want to learn. Verse 17. The first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. Let me give you some homework if you want some extra points here. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 16, and 2 Samuel chapter 19. It's the story of David, who, when fleeing from the city, encounters someone who lets him know that someone he helped has betrayed him. And so, angered by that report, David makes a decision based on what this person says. When he comes back to the city, he finds out that there's a whole other side to the story. There's somebody else who tells him information he didn't have before. And it turns out David realizes, okay, one of these guys is lying. Okay? I don't know if the first one is not telling me the truth or if the second one's not telling me the truth. So he makes a decision that is based on the fact that somebody's not telling the truth and I don't know who it is, so this is what we're going to do. Now, I'm left a little unsatisfied with that because I want him to dig in there and find out exactly who lied and who told the truth, and yet sometimes in life, folks, you don't get to do that. And David, at that point, had made plenty of mistakes himself. And so his response is simply to say, you know, I don't know who's telling the truth. Here's what we'll do about it. And you and I need to realize sometimes we're going to hear from this person, this is what happened, and we think, well, by golly, I'll take care of that. And then we get involved and we find out a little more, and it's like, oh, okay, I thought this was what happened because that's what this person said, but this person may not be telling me the truth. And so I don't necessarily know or even have a way of knowing exactly who's telling the truth. So I'm going to be a lot less inclined to make rash judgments. Now, let me clarify one thing. Guess who always knows the truth? God does. And guess who has promised that he will take care of things? God has. And so guess what you and I need to be concerned about? What everybody else thinks? Or what God thinks? What God thinks. That's 2 Samuel 9, 16 and 19. Compare that with Proverbs 18, 17. Verse 18 of Proverbs 18. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. What is casting the lot? It's like flipping a coin. It's saying we're going to make the decision trusting in the fact that seemingly random events are ultimately under the control of God. And if I am seeking God's direction, let's let Him decide. You cast the lot, you flip the coin, and the two teams have to accept the outcome. Right? Whatever it comes out, that's it. That's what this is talking about. Sometimes you settle a dispute by recognizing that seemingly random things are ultimately in God's hand. The last verse says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank God for that. I have some marvelous friends. Recently, I had the opportunity to travel with one of my sons to the town where I grew up. And he asked me, do you still have any friends who live here? And I said, yes. And I started naming friends that I've had since I was a kid. And we're still friends. And I thank God for that. That's a wonderful gift. But I have another friend who's even closer than my wife. I love my wife. I'd take her over any of those childhood friends. But I have another friend that I would take over my wife. And that's the Lord. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus gave His life to save me. I owe Him everything. And I know I can always count on Him. I hope you know Him that way.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.